Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, well, I got the bad, which is this is the last good, the bad, and the dumb of 2023 for the show. But I got the good in that by the time we come back January 2nd, you should have lots and lots to choose from for the first good, bad, and the dumb of 2024.
One will hope.
One will hope.
Yeah, exactly. You never know.
You never know, Israel.
You never know. I mean, there might not be any good happening at all. It might just be all bad.
Leave it to the human race to give us stories. What is the good of the day?
The good of the day. I might have two for you. I'm digging through real quick. But the original good and the good I could share with you right now, if my computer would operate. There we go. Is that a first in the NFL is going to occur Saturday, Tony.
Okay.
During the Bills-Chargers game.
Right.
Now, it's kind of bad because the game is exclusively being shown on Peacock. So if you do not have Peacock, you're in trouble.
Okay.
But if you do have Peacock and you happen to settle in for Bills-Chargers, you are going to see a commercial-free fourth quarter.
Okay, my father-in-law told me this last night, and I asked him what network. And my back of my brain was, because he couldn't remember the game, and I said, I wonder if it's the Peacock game that's coming up.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to do that, you're going to do it on an online platform that people have to pay for.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So that's why we're having it. Now, you know, I'm excited to see it because, I don't know, maybe it'll be like an in-game atmosphere. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Yeah. What are they going to do? Are they telling the announcers? That'd be a good question. Are they telling the announcers to just keep talking?
Yeah.
Right?
But
I want a break to reset my statistics, to reset my spotter board, the things that play-by-play announcers use breaks to do. Like when you take a commercial break in the game, you readjust. You're like, okay, there's a touchdown. Now there's going to have the kickoff. We come back. And then you readjust. You and your team set up whatever it is you're setting up. Or do they just tell them, nope, just keep chatting all the way through the fourth quarter. So, well, yeah, but this is where it's heading, man. This is where it's heading. I always wondered if you're on a when I pay for a service, why am I getting ads?
Right.
Like.
Well,
you know.
I'm just surprised. I mean, maybe it is that you know they're able to double dip and that the announcers do live reads from time to time.
They do
sneak them in there. But I'm always surprised too. It's like you don't that the NFL or basketball, NBA. At least I don't know if they do. Because maybe I'll have to pay more attention. Why they don't do like in-game ads up by the score box?
Like little in like signage, yeah.
Yeah, like if you watch a soccer game, up by the score where you know that has the score, has the time clock. There's usually an ad associated next to it, just a logo, so you know what's going on.
Right, there's always running action.
Right.
So if you build in the game,
that's why. Yeah, you can't leave.
You might as well go to a commercial if you're taking a break in the action.
But all I'm thinking, wouldn't that be another source of revenue?
Yeah, just keep doing that. Yeah, just
having that like up in the corner. It's you know, it's because it's not intrusive.
Well, they had a problem at the beginning of the college football season where there was a lot of columnists writing. You know, we had three commercial breaks after a touchdown. Like before they, during a touchdown drive, they said, so this team lined up first and goal. Before that, they took a timeout. We took a big commercial break. Then they scored. We took a commercial break. Then they kicked the ball off and then we took a commercial break. And they said, this is not sustainable. Like you can't just keep doing this. It's after a while, it gets really frustrating. And he's right. It's like the media rights that get made up with the commercials, you can only give the American public so much of that before you go, hey, the flow of this game is being really altered by what I'm watching. So I'm kind of interested to see if there's another way to do it. But again, because soccer match or even hockey to that extent, but hockey has breaks the time. But hockey is seems to always flow, which, you know, whatnot. If you are a person, would you rather watch, I mean, not rather watch a commercial, but would you rather have something else than just a scene of teams on the sidelines and maybe the announcers filling the gap with some verbiage? because there are natural breaks in the game. So what you, but when they're orchestrated media timeouts, that's always like a weird thing, right? Like in basketball. In basketball, they just take a timeout for the media. Like the ball goes out of bounds at like the 8 minute mark and they go, yep, timeout, automatic. And everyone goes, oh, really? Yeah, timeout, because we're paying the bills. But no, yeah, I don't have Peacock, so I'm not going to be able to watch this game. Do you have Peacock?
I think I do.
See, that's another thing, too. I'm with you on that. I don't even know what I have.
And the only reason why I say that is because I think it comes free with our cable.
Okay. So there you
because
go.
Because we have Comcast, Xfinity. I think we get Peacock. Yeah, no, I know. I'm kind of excited about that. You know, the bad thing about this, though, that if it is commercial-free, it's a commercial-free fourth quarter, that there's a very good chance that the Bills could be blowing out the Chargers at that point.
Yeah, that's very true, but...
I don't know what you'd want to watch during that time.
But the thing was, this was a major game when they announced that Peacock was doing this game.
Yes.
Like, you could anticipate that Week 16, a Bills-Chargers game was going to be for lot of playoff implications that was going to be exclusively on a streaming service a lot of people don't have. Right? And everyone has gone through their cable fights and whatnot, and cable is too expensive, but they get you with this, right? They go, oh, fine. You want to go to something cheaper, but your shows are all on this. So you have to subscribe to this, and you can make that decision, but it's almost like they still get you. They still get you. And we as consumers can never say, no, we are demanding lower prices on this, because they go, yeah, yeah, yeah. But you know what? Everything you love is now on a streaming service. And eventually you'll have to subscribe to watch the NFL. Whether it's Peacock or Amazon Prime, Paramount will do a game. That's the way it's heading right now. All right, what's the bad of the day?
Well, I have one more good.
Oh, one more good. Okay, yeah, very good.
Because it's the end of 2023. I'm going to send you off with a second good simply because, right?
Mm-hmm.
Frank Sinatra hit another music milestone, Tony.
Yes, he did. That's right.
The only reason why I remembered this story, forgot about it. You were singing a little Sinatra during the break, and that's where it hit me. Just as we were coming back from break, you were singing a little Sinatra, and I was like, oh, I wanted to talk about this.
Yeah.
So 25 years after his death, Tony, Sinatra has a song in the Billboard Top 100. Not only that, it's number 20 in the Billboard charts this week.
Yeah, I know. I heard. This is awesome.
And this is for the song Jingle Bell, or his recording of Jingle Bells.
That's right. So there has been a lot of Frank Sinatra news lately. There's been a platinum set that is being released. I have about 25 Frank Sinatra CDs in my collection that I unfortunately don't open up anymore because everything I have is digital.
Yep.
But I have remember when burning CDs was just emerging on the scene? I created my own best of Sinatra CD back in 2000. I even designed
Last desperate hope of a mixtape.
I used Photoshop, and I even designed my own album cover for it. It was kind of fun.
Was it you and Frank sitting talking?
Yeah,
laughing?
I wish. Yeah, superimpose my face on like Dean's. Right, and just me and Frank. Yeah, exactly.
Sharing a drink somewhere in some tiny little bar.
I'm such a giant Sinatra fan. It's nuts.
But
I just find it
amazing. What I find amazing, you know, my oldest, who's 16, knows who Frank Sinatra is.
Yeah,
and I don't know. The only way I can fathom that he knows this is that his music is being used in TikTok videos.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And that's how he's becoming popular again. And I believe that's probably how he became popular with Jingle Bells.
I'm sure that's probably it. You're 100% right. I'm sure that's probably it.
It's being used in something. I don't know if it's a viral video or if it's a TikTok challenge or what. I don't think it's one of those, but every once in a while there's a song that everyone's just using and it's, you know, becomes viral. And I think that's it. And then a whole new generation is starting to learn how awesome Frank is.
Pretty great.
It's one of the reasons why I will admit this. I'll admit this for two reasons, right? I do like the movie What Women Want. Remember that movie with Mel Gibson and Helen Hunt? I like it because that is a fantasy to have for a man to be able to hear what every woman wants.
That's right.
Hopefully you're able to block out the noise like he would, but to get their inner thoughts, especially with that one scene with Marissa Tomei, and if you know, you know. But the other reason why I like that movie, there is a lot of Frank Sinatra being played throughout the movie.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It feels really good.
I have a lot of credentials that I've saved over the years, all these credentials of all these events that I've gone to. And one of my favorites is I got to cover, but I just attended as a media member, the first Frank Sinatra celebrity golf match in Las Vegas the year he passed away. And it's a real cherished credential of mine because I got to interview people about Frank and I got to interview people for sports. But I also did a piece on the local station about Frank Sinatra. But I was in Vegas when the news came that he had passed away, and no better place to be because, boy, they treated it really well.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're continuing the good, the bad, and the dumb as we roll along again on the final show of 2023, back January 2nd. All right, let's get the bad of the day.
The bad of the day. Again, I got two for you because one of them is very
rolling
quick.
Rolling along this morning.
Yeah, one of them is really, really quick because there's not much to say about it, but it could be end up becoming a mainstay. We're off all next week, Tony. Hopefully, we're not talking about this come January 2nd.
Okay.
And that's the fact that the Pistons have now lost 25 straight games.
25 straight games. I mean, they're flirting with NBA records here.
Yeah.
I mean, this is Monty Williams. This is Monty Williams over there. And this is the guy that was fired from the Suns and became the head coach of the Pistons. And this team stinks.
Yeah.
Stinks. That's why I said, Cunningham is the only thing they've got going for them, and that's it. Maybe Jaden Ivey, but nevertheless.
Is there a chance that we are talking about this January 2nd?
It's possible. They cannot. They aren't even winning on nights where the other team is like, all right, this is the third game of a four-game road trip.
Well, last night.
Yeah.
Last night, the Utah Jazz were playing shorthanded. They had so many players out.
And the Pistons still can't win.
And the Pistons still couldn't win. Yeah, the Jazz were without Larry Markkanen, Jordan Clarkson, Keyonte Jones or George, and Talen Horton Tucker.
Ugh.
They were all sidelined. So I mean, they did not play four players off the roster. So that leaves you eight on the bench or eight players.
Yeah, and they still I'm looking at 119-111.
Yeah,
give me a break. So they're going to Brooklyn tomorrow to play the Nets. That would tie the record for most losses in a straight losses in a single season at 25. And then I think they play the Nets again.
I mean, that
could be 27. Yeah,
that's the crazy thing.
Look, I have nothing against the Pistons, but if you're a Pistons fan, I'm sorry. But I kind of want to see them lose through Christmas, Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. The last win was the 28th of October. Like, that's how far back you have to go to find a victory. It was against the Chicago Bulls. That's it. After that, that's it. Straight losses all the way through. So if they lose back-to-back games to Brooklyn, Saturday and then Tuesday night at home against Brooklyn, so it's a home and home against the Nets, then they will have completed the trifecta of holiday fun, carrying their losing streak through the three holidays in the fall.
And in the process, getting the record.
And getting the record, yes. My God, how demoralizing is this? I mean, every night.
I'm looking at the Pistons schedule on the ESPN app. Right, and it's just amazing to see L all the way down.
One after another. If they don't win after another.
If they don't win either game against Brooklyn, they're definitely losing against Boston.
Yep.
I imagine they're going to lose against Toronto.
They started the year 2-1, and they were like, "Yeah, look at that! How funny is that?
Good job on you, Monty."
Right. Where'd you go, Monty Williams?
But like I said, that's quick. We don't know what the end of the story is. The other bad of the day is that an agent. I like this. I wish this agent was Sean Stellato, but it's not. But an agent sent Penn State head coach James Franklin a list of potential transfer portal players to gauge some interest. Yeah, one of the players on that list was one of his current players.
Oh my god!
An offensive lineman who hasn't even announced that he's in the transfer portal, is not anywhere near the transfer portal. Just the idea that I'm thinking about leaving the team. You interested in taking me, coach?
Picture the zombie apocalypse. Picture the zombie apocalypse, right? Picture a world where everything you take for granted is gone. There's no electricity. There's no television. There's no radio. There's nothing. There's nobody making food. You have to go scrounge for food. And imagine you're in a community, right? And a guy says, hey, there's no running water anymore. There's no electricity anymore. Every night we're going to send a group out there amongst the zombies and we are going to have to get our own food. Those days of going out to the restaurant, kids, those are done. Those days sitting by TV and watching movies, they're done. We are now living in a whole new world and we all have to adapt and we all have to come together and adapt. That's college football. That's college football. You are never going back to the way it was before.
Yeah.
That is it. You are never going back. These kids have agents. They have marketing reps. They are transferring out. You want them, you better appeal to them. You want them, you better pay them.
No,
that's the new world, and we're never going back.
Was it Dion? I think it was Dion. If it wasn't Dion, it was another prominent head coach who said, we're treating transfer portal like it's free agency.
That's right. It is free agency.
It's free agency
It
now.
Is. Like, treating it like free agency, it is free agency. Like,
we're just calling it a different name.
He needs to wake up and realize that's exactly what that is. Like, wine and dine these kids. Break out the hostesses and the cash.
Yep.
That's what you're getting.
Yeah. Now you have an agent going around with a list of players like, hey, any of these guys interest you? They're looking for a new team.
Looking for a new team. Look,
that's my guy.
And look at what's happening. I know I bring him up a lot, but look what's happening with Dion. He signed 5 kids.
Right.
Like hardly anybody on early signing day.
How is his recruiting?
He's winning the transfer portal. And everyone's pointing to him. That's the new way to do it. If you want to do it. Now people are arguing that no, you better build the base. Bringing in new people all the time isn't a recipe, but that's the recipe he wants. That's how he wants to make the bread, right? That's how he wants to make the stew, is he doesn't really want to go to kids. Dion's not going to a kid's house to beg him to come there. Dion's not going to sit in a room and go, whatever you need, we'll bring it to you, man. He's going to be like, you want to come here to play? Start talking to your friends, how fun it is to be in Boulder.
You mean Dion's not going to go there and offer the little brother a chance to run out the tunnel like
right.
Michael Orr?
Right, exactly. You don't have to do any of that. Like it's a new way of business, and I know it's driving the old school nuts. I know it is, and it's driving me nuts because I don't know how to gauge any of this. I looked at Rivals the other day, and I went, what does this mean? Does this really mean anything? Is this valuable information? Because 2 things about the Rivals list about, hey, how many 5 stars did Georgia get? How many 4 stars did Alabama get? It's not that. That's not the way the game is played anymore. You better look at the transfer portal list to see who's winning that. And then you got to find out if any of these 5-star, 4-star recruits are on your team 3 years from now. Because they could easily just go, hey, yeah, thanks for the cookies and the fun. I'm leaving for this school. And that's how you have to judge it now. And it's another completely different way of doing business. Yeah. All right, so what is the, what do we got, dumb of the day now?
The dumb of the day.
All right.
The dumb of the day is that the state of New York is trying to pass a bill that will require Chick-fil-A to be open on Sundays.
Explain this.
So apparently there's a lot of restaurants on the New York Thruway.
Okay.
Right? And one of those restaurants that appears often is Chick-fil-A.
Okay, so they're at a rest stop.
A rest
like
stop,
a pull
gas
in
station.
Off the
yeah.
highway, what you see a lot in those areas of, it's not like pull off on this exit into the town of Donaldson.
Right.
It's really like, it's right on the highway. Get it's on not and like, in and out.
And it's not like a rest area where right. you can just go, like they have a bathroom and vending machines. You know, they actually, on the New York Thruway, have like little, it's almost like a small little mecca.
Yeah, it's like a little place with restaurants. Okay, so
yeah,
they're telling Chick-fil-A. Okay, so here's a question: are they telling the Chick-fil-A's on the highway they have to be open on Sundays?
Just on the ones that are on the thruway.
So if you have a standalone Chick-fil-A in Ithaca, so you don't have to. They can close.
Here's what it is: New York lawmakers have introduced a bill that would require restaurants in state highway system rest areas to operate 7 days a week.
Okay.
And they specifically mentioned Chick-fil-A.
They probably did it for Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Right? Because the other ones are like, we don't want to close ever. So we have no problems with staying open all the time. Chick-fil-A has allowed their employees to worship or whatever they want to do on Sundays. So they're not telling their employees they have to go to church or anything. They're just saying, we're closed. You can have a day off. Do whatever you want on Sunday. Go to church. Don't go to church. We don't care. But we are giving one day rest.
Yes.
Based on a religious principle of rest, but you don't have to be religious to work there. So is there a reasoning behind it that's saying, like, people just that, need the food
basically,
on Sundays?
Basically what it is that, you know, if you roll up to one of these rest areas, whatever it might be, right, and you pull in and you're wanting some food and it's a Sunday and Chick-fil-A isn't open,
right?
You know, you might be SOL. They're saying that's not fair to the driver.
So the driver is
the driver. He got off there. You know, he wants to eat.
Yes.
And so that restaurant, who is operating within that state contained building, that state controlled building, needs to be open on Sundays.
There's a couple of legal things to unpack here, and I'm not a lawyer, but does Chick-fil-A is Chick-fil-A contracted with the state of New York? Is the state of New York giving them an opportunity?
Great
to be
question.
There?
I really don't know the answer to that.
They say,
one.
Hey, look, when you build a building. That you own the building, you own the land, whatever it is when you are in a town. But when you're on the freeway, we've given you the contract to be there. We could have given it to Burger King.
Right.
We could have given it to McDonald's. We could have given it to Pizza Hut. We've given it to you. And because we've given it to you, we've given you an opportunity to be in front of thousands and thousands of drivers every day. And because we've done that, you need to be open on Sundays. Otherwise, we will replace you with somebody that will be open on Sundays.
Yep.
So that would be a little legal angle.
Yeah,
to that.
And I just wonder where story. I wonder where Chick-fil-A would go with that. Would they
That's
just go?
That's a very interesting story.
All right, fine. We'll take our talents elsewhere.
I might have to look into that.